Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, August 12, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. A proposed marine shipping buyout of Northland Services by Linden Incorporated is one step closer to approval. Though the two companies have third-party competition elsewhere, Northland and Linden's subsidiary Alaska Marine Lines handles virtually all commercial marine shipping in Southeast. If they merge as is, Linden would have an illegal monopoly in Southeast, according to the Department of Law. The department's lawyers filed a plan in court on July 31st that would leave Southeast Alaska with two competing carriers, but their operations would be intertwined. The plan requires AML to assist Sitka-based Samson Tug and Barge with an expansion into Southeast. The specifics are confidential, but Samson would buy assets from AML, lease space aboard AML barges, have a guaranteed barge charter from AML during peak shipping seasons, and have the option to rent AML terminal facilities and storage in Southeast and in Seattle. The filing opened a comment period that ends September 27th. After that, a Superior Court judge in Anchorage must decide if a deal can go forward. Getting healthy fruits and vegetables can be difficult anywhere, but especially here in Alaska, where it costs more and usually sits on the store shelves for longer. The Sitka Farmers Market was the first in Southeast Alaska to make it possible for customers to use food assistance programs. Recently, the market added a new matching program where low-income shoppers can double the value of their food purchases and buy twice as much healthy food from Sitka. KCAW's Eric Newman visited a recent farmers market to learn more.
At Sitka's A&B Founders Hall, tables line the walls and fill the center of the room. And there are more out in the parking area, too. They're selling fish and vegetables, baked goods, and crafts.
Today we have over 20 vendors here. We have a few outside selling food. My name is Sabrina Simmerall, and I am the farmers market co-manager.
Near where Simmerall is standing is a table with a credit card machine and a stack of wooden tokens. It's where you go at the market if you're using a food assistance program, like an electronic benefits transfer card, which is usually called EBT. Thanks to a grant from the state, the Sitka Farmers Market can make EBT purchases go twice as far.
And for the first $20 that are spent, we can match. So if you come and buy $20 worth of EBT coins, we can then also match that and give you $40 of EBT coins that you can use to buy any EBT allowable item. We have a vendor who does biscotti, we have some jams, we have bread, baked goods, produce, definitely produce. That's really what we're encouraging.
And it's not that much, but for some people that extra $20 can be the difference between going to the grocery store and buying from local producers.
We got bagged lettuce and rhubarb and kohlrabi and beets.
They ring up the groceries and the total is like $68. I mean, that's, I recognize that as money that I am saving that I put towards my schooling.
That's Stacy Joseph. She lives in Sitka and uses some of the assistance programs when she shops at the farmer's market. Joseph is a certified nurse assistant and is in school at UAS to go into health information management. She says with four kids and two adults, they go through a lot of food.
Yeah, making sure that we're healthy can be a struggle. Whether it's, getting the food or getting them to eat it.
So if you're on a food assistance program, why go to the farmer's market where things are usually more expensive?
My own number one choice to go to the farmer's market is to keep any, resources that I have here in the community.
According to the market organizers, all of the produce that's sold at the market has been grown in Sitka.
We see other Southeast cities, going under, having to close their schools, having to close offices. I love it here, and I would hate to have to move.
So for customers like Joseph, the benefits go both ways. She gets to feed her kids healthy food, and the money to buy it goes back to the Sitka community. The market's matching program is helping keep that exchange going. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Eric Newman.
The Sitka Farmers Market happens on alternating Saturdays, with the next one on August 17th. For more information and upcoming dates can be found at sitkalocalfoodsnetwork.org. Alaskans are used to summertime visitors, and showing off our state is one of the joys of living here. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski has her own visitor this week, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell. And Murkowski has been busy showing Tidwell what the National Forest means to the people who live in Southeast Alaska. Murkowski and Tidwell sat down for a brief news conference Friday in Ketchikan to talk about what they've seen so far. KRBD's Layla Carey was there, and has this report.
The Forest Service chief is spending a busy couple of days in the Tongass National Forest. He and Murkowski already visited Annan Creek near Wrangell, a second growth harvest in Kena Cove, a commercial thinning of young growth in Hollis, Viking Lumber in Klawock, and met with Forest Service and timber industry officials in Ketchikan. That was just the first day. For day two,
we're going to have an opportunity to fly over the Suantai Intertie. We're going to go over Bell Island, Lake Shalokam. We're going to have an opportunity to be in Wrangell for a short while. And then we will fly over the Stikine, Whale Pass, and a couple of the timber sales, Log Jam, Big Thorn, Polk Inlet, and also an opportunity to view from the air the Niblack mine site.
The goal of the trip for both Murkowski and Tidwell is for the chief to learn firsthand what life is like on the Tongass.
The purpose of my time here is to learn and listen, and so that I have a better understanding of the challenges and the issues that folks here in the Tongass are working on together with our communities. You know, as great as the briefings that I get and the work that our staffs do to inform me, you know, there's nothing that can replace actually seeing it yourself.
So did Tidwell gain that insight? He says he's heard many times about, for example, the difficulty of transportation in Alaska, but seeing it for himself at the Kena Cove harvest
really helped me to have a better understanding of all the steps that it takes to be able to make this work, and then also the way to be able to coordinate not only the transportation, but to find ways so that it's not only economical for the saw logs, but opportunities to make it economically viable to make use of the smaller diameter of the treetops, you know, for biomass. It's not as simple as just loading it on a chip truck and driving down the road to a pellet facility, for instance.
Murkowski says she hopes this personal trip also will show the Forest Service chief how the roadless rule is particularly problematic in Alaska. She says roadless doesn't mean the same thing in Alaska as it does down south. For example, Murkowski says construction by helicopter just isn't economically feasible here.
You might be able to do it down in the lower 48 where you have roads and you can put the equipment, you can put the engines, the motors, the transmission towers, you can put them on a road and get them to a place, and then where you have to use a helicopter, you can sling it a short distance, and it's not going to be so expensive that it completely shoots your whole project.
The Sea Alaska Land Transfer Bill also came up. Murkowski is a sponsor of the Senate version of the bill, and Tidwell says that version is a document his office strongly endorses. He says it fulfills the federal government's commitment to the Native Corporation.
In the way that the lands were identified, it was based on how to not only meet the needs for the corporation, but at the same time to be able to, so it works, you know, for the Tongass National Forest.
Murkowski's bill would transfer about 70,000 acres of the Tongass National Forest to Sea Alaska ownership, the final transfer of land called for under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Many stakeholders have accepted the newest measure, although residents of some communities, particularly those on northern Prince of Wales Island, continue to oppose the transfer because of the likely logging activity that will take place. Tidwell also mentioned some grants that the Forest Service recently approved for the Ketchikan Gateway Borough and the Chilkoot Indian Association in Haines. Those grants will help pay for design work on woody biomass boilers. Tidwell says that moving those projects forward will help lead to demand for that renewable energy source.
Once we get that demand, and then you can justify creating the facility here, it's going to create more demand because folks will say, okay, it's actually going to be even less expensive to be able to use something, the biomass, than it currently is.
The The chief was wearing a pair of new-looking extra-tough boots. He admitted they were purchased for this trip and says they served their purpose well.
Yesterday when we were up at NN and walking along the boardwalk there, and it was a nice wet day in Southeast, they did their job. Not only my feet were dry, but they have great traction.
Murkowski is visiting a number of communities in Alaska during her summer break from the Senate. Her next scheduled appearance is a speech in Anchorage on August 13th. In Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
It's August, the sun is out, and people are hitting the beaches in bathing suits. That's a great summer by Southeast standards, but it comes with a downside. Along with hot and dry weather comes fire danger. So the Wrangell Fire Department has issued a burn ban. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has the details.
Wildfires threatened Fairbanks. In Wrangell, smoke from fires in Canada made the air hard to breathe and the sunsets an ominous orange. It's been hot and dry across the Northwest this season, and now even the rainforest is at risk of fire.
It is a rainforest, but it has been so dry this year. And yes, if you dug down quite a ways, you know, it's fairly wet. But a lot of this stuff here in town is not, it's not the case for like a lot of our yards and such right now.
That's Dorianne Blatchley, administrator at the fire department. She says the fire department issued a ban to protect the forest and the town from a potential fire. The ban means that no outdoor fires are allowed in town until further notice.
Any burn barrels, any outdoor rubbish waste piles that they've got going, if they've been, you know, clearing their lot or whatever. A lot of people are used to being able to go ahead and burn whenever they wanted to, as long as they had a hose or, a backhoe available, some way of extinguishing that.
And that's all for Raven News. If you've missed any of our stories or would like to hear them again, please visit us online at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka.